What's good, good people? It's Shay E. Ray, Shay Good Guy, back with another episode of Being Black on Earth. Figured it was time for another episode. My last episode didn't do so well, Toxic Femininity. Only got 9 listeners. I usually get at least 10. But I guess it wasn't that good. And I thought I actually did a good job on that one. Why? Because I wrote that one before reading it. This one, this episode today, is not written. And it's not going to be edited either. I'm still doing it from my phone. And one thing I have not spoken about at all since it began is Corona. So I guess that's going to be my topic for today. Corona, being black on earth with the coronavirus. And I will be back after a moment.
They'll teach you history, yeah. But they'll teach you what they'll
what
teach
they
you,
want you to yeah. think.
What they want you to think is,
and none of it has ever been true.
Okay, so we're back, and coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. Well, I guess it's not also known as, right? So if we get into Corona, everybody should be an expert on coronavirus right now. So coronavirus is a family of viruses, and COVID-19, what they call novel Corona-19, is the newest strain, which there is no immunity for, and which is why it's a problem and currently a worldwide pandemic. And it's got everybody on lockdown. And I am flabbergasted. I've never seen anything quite like this. I consider myself quite the conspiracy theorist, going way back to like mid-90s. And I don't think this was ever on my radar, something quite like this. Certain elements of it, but certainly not the way that this has gone down. For sure. Now, I don't really have much to say on Corona. I could tell you what we're doing, if anyone's interested in what my family and I are doing. So we're on lockdown just like everyone else, of course. And we stockpiled mostly dry goods. We didn't stockpile toilet paper, which I know everybody's going on and on about. I don't think we stockpiled the more popular things that people that have been in the news and things like that. So no hand sanitizer, no paper towel. And I'll have you know, if you don't know, that hand sanitizer does not kill viruses. I don't know where that even comes from. It will kill, most of them are antibacterial, but not antiviral. So there's that. We didn't stockpile on that. Not to mention, we didn't need to stockpile it. Every single time I have gone out shopping, the stores I went to had ample toilet paper. I never really looked for hand sanitizer too tough, but wipes and things like that, cleaning products, never had any issues with that. What we did stock up on was a lot of dry goods. So, sugar, brown sugar, beans, lentils, rice, that kind of stuff. We bought bags and bags of that. Bought a boxes of eggs, boxes of water. We did buy industrial toilet paper and paper towel. So it wasn't like we were stockpiling. We just bought one of those big giant like restaurant rolls. Not one, like maybe 2. Of each, the powdered milk, things like that, just dry shit, canned milk, evaporated and condensed milk, not a lot because we don't use a lot of milk, but just that's pretty much all we did. And then I think the major investment that we made was that we started a garden, and we rent, we don't own, but we were lucky enough, and not to mention we had just moved. Maybe 3 months before Corona hit. And the place we were living, in fact, the last 3 places we've lived we would not have been able to do a full-on garden. We've always had like windowsill gardens or little, tiny little backyard potted gardens. I shouldn't say we, it's mostly my wife who's into it. But this time around, I was taking a business class, which is funny enough, like a free community business class to help me launch my business. In fact, this very business, being Black on Earth, helped me do it right and everything. But the teacher, who was a very good teacher, I wish I could shout her out because I cannot remember her name right now. But anyways, it's the place is called Partners for Self-Employment. And the teacher there, which was very interesting because that very day, the last day that we had class, right, my group, because they make you form groups, sort of your own little business group, and you're it's sort of like a mock business that you just start with your partners. You have a treasurer, chairperson, all of this, and you have to keep minutes and do the whole nine. And recently, they had sort of changed the way they were doing things because they brought in some new management right before I started, which was December of last year. The previous director of whomever it was passed away. So apparently they came in and they revamped. They said he was doing things sort of wrong, sort of outdated. So they brought in someone new, and that person changed things up to where at least one aspect of the change was that we had to choose our own topics and then present, like make our own schedule and then present our own topics, but then we had to run it by them the week before, da 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 da. That was all good with me. That was all I knew. So we did it. We were doing it. But then the previous members, the people who had been there, you know, years before, did not like that at all. And because apparently that last day of class, they took me aside and they said, listen, this is not how it used to be. It used to be that the guy taught the class. He came in every week and he taught us. And this is how it's been happening with this new teacher. She comes in and she's a really good teacher. And she teaches us things about business. And we take our notes and then we walk away. We try it. But now they have it to where we got to do our own things. So then what do we need them for? That's what the argument they were making. So I was like, that makes sense. Makes sense to me. And the lady really is a good teacher. And I learned tons from this woman. So they decided they were going to confront her. So they go into class and they say, hey, how come you're not teaching us? How come we have to present da 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 da? And the lady goes, you know, I asked myself the same question. I was like, whoa. And she says, I actually have a topic right now. And she pulled out like one of those manila folders stacked with handouts and highlighted already. She was like, I was actually going to give you guys this and teach a class on Corona, because this is right when Corona was still in China. It hadn't, I think, China and Italy at that moment. It hadn't really spread yet worldwide. It certainly wasn't being considered a pandemic yet. And she was saying, I actually was going to teach a class on Corona, but they told me that I couldn't. They told me that maybe I could talk to you guys about it, but I couldn't hand out any packets or anything like that. And we were like, what? Why? You know? And she goes, you know what? But I will go ahead and teach you anyway. So luckily for us, this woman, this wonderful woman, goes in on teaching us about supply chain constraint. Supply chain constraint, I can't remember. I've actually never heard the term before. And she was saying to us, she was warning us, and this is 2 weeks out from the real lockdown on Corona, especially say here in the United States. She started to explain to us what supply line constraint is and explain to us what's happening in China and what to prepare for. She was like, listen, I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical knowledge, so I don't know anything about coronavirus. What I do know is business, and I know how this coronavirus will potentially affect business. It's going to shut down. It's going to cause supply line constraints. So pretty soon, there's going to be things you won't be able to get. either because people are hoarding them or because China, who is the main manufacturer to the Western world, isn't making them anymore because they've shut down their factories because they've got so many people sick. And she started going through all of that with us, all of what that means, what she had taken classes herself on what countries were planning to do and how they were going to address it. And she's giving us all this information 2 weeks way ahead of what anybody was doing. So she was recommending to us, saying, listen, you want to go out and stockpile. Certain things are going to be difficult to get, and you want to start a garden. I think I may have talked about this already on my podcast. And I went home that day, and I told my wife. And I think the following week, we started a garden. Like I said, the last three places we lived, we would not have been able to start a big garden as the size of the one we've done here. Not to mention have all the equipment and stuff just kind of laying around without anyone disturbing it. So that's what we did, because of what that woman told us. We actually, that's right when we went and got a bunch of dry goods and started the garden, bought a bunch of plants and planted them. In fact, right now I got some pineapple growing. So basically any food we buy, if we buy pumpkin, if we buy onions, garlic, we start growing them bad boys. So right now my kitchen looks like a freaking greenhouse because I've got green onion, I've got garlic, I've got ginger, I've got a pineapple growing in there. I'm trying to see if I can get some lentils going. And in the garden itself, we've got cabbage, cucumber, some more pumpkin, another type of pumpkin. We've got a couple types of beans, different herbs, tomatoes, of course. A bunch of stuff growing out there right now. So that's how we were handling the corona. But now, and here all this while, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to last a week. Because I remember it happened right the week before spring break, because I was working as a reading interventionist at a inner city school. And already they were preparing us, like, you know, we may shut down school the week before spring break, and then we'll have the 2 weeks. And they weren't sure. I mean, they waited right up until the last minute, right up until Friday, we didn't know, the Friday of. But then they sent out an email, I believe, the Saturday or something, that, yes, yeah, school is shut down for the week. So, okay, it's gonna last a week. Then that turned to 2 weeks. Then corona really hit during spring break. That's when it hit, boom, like in the middle of spring break, that's when it hit the U.S. And then it was like, oh gosh, okay, kids aren't going back to school until April, mid-April. So they shut down everything. My daughter, you know, I remember they were handing out electronic devices and doing all this other stuff. I already have all that stuff. I didn't have to get involved. But so I have a high schooler. She's home now doing online courses. I've got a bunch of toddlers. I'm sorry, I'm yawning a lot. And we're homeschooling them. And next thing I don't know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm out of a job now because I was hourly. But luckily, my wife, her midwifery practice started to pick back up because it wasn't going at all. In fact, she hadn't had a birth at that time, probably in about 2 months, 2-3 months. But then, man, as soon as I lost my job, she got like two back to back. But then that picked back up. They said, yes, if you take these courses, we'll pay you, blah, 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 blah. We were already paying you. So, okay, that was good. But now we're just here and we're just climbing the walls and I'm noticing that our whole schedule is just going off. It's like off because usually our schedule was, and maybe this is happening to you too, our schedule was like, you know, we get up around, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I would get myself ready for work, get my daughter up. We'd eat breakfast. I'd take her to school, and then I'd go to work. My wife was staying home with the little ones, but she would do lessons with them. Then I would come home from work, pick up my daughter. We'd all come home, dinner. I'd work out. Well, actually, no. I'd work out, then dinner. Depends. And then pretty much call it a night by like 10 o'clock. We're back in bed. Now, we were keeping that up for a while, for about, I guess, the first month. If this is the end of the first month of Corona, I want to say. We're about to be at the end of the first month. Now our schedule is so fucked up. We're like getting up at noon at like 10, and we're going to bed at like 2 in the morning. We're eating dinner at midnight. It's crazy. And then I, in the middle of working out, I tweaked my back again. So I decided to take it easy. So I haven't even worked out in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days now. And it used to be I had a whole routine, you know, when I got ready for work. I pack my lunch for the night before. I eat breakfast. I would take, I have a water jug I take, so I know I can able to track how much water I drink a day. And according to my weight, I'm supposed to be drinking a little over 3 quarts of water. So I would do that. But now with everybody just sort of locked down, it becomes a hassle to always be getting water like that. And we just got a filter, but then the filter broke, and then we got one of those like little pitchers, and that's just not enough for our family. So I was like, everything's off. I'm not even drinking water like I used to, like I need to. And I just can't believe how off my schedule has gotten. So now I gotta lock it back down. And I have, even though it's Corona, I have a ton of things to do because I have to take at least one class a day to keep up my reading interventionist pay. Not to mention I signed up for 2 free classes. One is a screenwriting class, and with some teacher I just started, like Young Script Writers or something like that. That's free. It's like a 5-week course. And I also signed up for a couple edX courses, which are also free. I'm supposed to be doing all of those, plus working out. Plus, I got to be on top of my high schooler because I feel like she's, like, not taking her classes. I got to get on top of her with that. And they are keeping attendance and things like that with them. And not to mention the house is just getting out of hand because everyone's home all the time. And you're not really supposed to go out so much. The house is just difficult to really maintain, you know. Laundry is piling up, and I mean, dishes are constantly piling up. I've been washing dishes like 3 fucking times a day, and it's driving me nuts. I'm one of those people who actually kind of enjoy washing dishes because I will just put on a podcast, put my speaker up, and just go to work, you know, and just do the whole kitchen. You know, wash the dishes, wipe down the counter, wipe down the stove, straighten up the refrigerator, do the whole nine. But oh my God, it feels like I'm doing that 2-3 times a day. And then on top of that, you know, after I do the kitchen, I do the dining room table. So clear that off, wipe it down, sweep under it. And it's just constantly dirty. The kids' toys are constantly everywhere, man. Crayons and shit everywhere. Can never find the remote. It's driving me up the wall. And not to mention, oh, and I'm still working on several projects, and not to mention this, the business plan for the Being Black on Earth and some writing projects that I got to do. So I'm trying to cram those into things, into the day. And I was doing them, you know, because I had a schedule, but now my schedule is off. So I have to redo my schedule and find a way to really crack the whip on myself and really be self-disciplined on keeping that schedule up. Because there's a lot to do. And then once this whole thing lifts, we got to be prepared to deal with that. But I am really grateful that I'm still getting paid and we have the money to still pay rent and have a garden and things like that, you know. So many of my friends are losing their jobs because they were either working in the restaurant industry. Most of the people I know who worked in nonprofit are okay. If you work in medical field, nonprofit field, you work for the government, which is nonprofit, you know, those guys are fine. But anybody that was doing any sort of retail, man, I'm feeling it for them. They're just falling for unemployment. People are worried about landlords, if they're going to waive fees down here. And I'm in Miami. So we're seeing how that's going to go. You go out into the street and it's a freaking ghost town. Nobody's around. And I remember just up until about a week ago, you didn't really see anybody wearing. You would see a few people wearing masks and gloves. Now everybody is wearing masks and gloves. And they're making it mandatory here. If you can't, they won't even let you into certain places if you don't have on masks. At least a mask. So now my wife is making masks, like the N95. Supposed to keep out. Just the other day I went to the store and I didn't. It was just walking distance. I actually just went to go get some like candy because everybody's got craving candy. So I got up early. Early these days is like 9 o'clock. Like nobody's awake. Nobody's out even. Only when I go to the store, like nobody's even out of the store. And I wasn't wearing a mask. It was like 5 people there. Every single one of them had on a mask. All the employees had on a mask. And they're looking at me side eye like, what the fuck? But they're wearing masks, but they're not social distancing. So I'm like, I don't wear a mask. Just stay the fuck away from me. You know what I mean? Just back up. But they weren't. I was keeping my distance from everybody. Not to mention, I'm not perusing the store either. I'm not browsing. I go in there. I know exactly what I want. And I'm out. In and out. Everywhere I go. You know, the last big shopping we did was Walmart, where we had to get, what did we have to get from Walmart? A bunch of stuff. We actually just stocked up on a ton of things. Mostly stuff that's kind of bad for you, stuff that we wouldn't normally eat, like box cereals and things like that. Because it was just becoming a little easier. But we had already done a dry goods shopping like earlier in the week and bought a bunch of stuff on that end. But it's just getting really boring. It's really, really boring, man. I wouldn't mind if we lived out in the country or something, and then the kids could kind of run around all day, every day. But living in the city is tough. And we try to take them out bike riding at least once a day. But, just you know, the other day they played in the hose. 2 days in a row they played in the hose. But this is driving me nuts. Did anybody catch the RZA versus Premier, DJ Premier? I did. That shit was hella dope. I cannot believe how dope that was. I mean, it was just, my whole childhood was coming back, man. I was listening to those songs on cassette tapes, you know, on my Sony Walkman. Like, I cannot believe how far hip-hop has come. I really cannot, man. To where those things are just classics, you know, like. And I remember when, I think it was like round 22. It was supposed to go 20 rounds, but this was like round 22. RZA plays Wu-Tang Clan, ain't nothing to fuck with. And my whole house, like my daughter and my wife, we all jump up and start like dancing. We're like, that beat goes so hard, dude. One thing I'll say, man, I think RZA won that in my opinion because he just... his beats are just bad, yo. He just has a lot of bad records. But Premier, his catalog is so diverse and extensive. Because RZA's pretty much with Wu-Tang Clan. Like, most of his records, hit records, come off of Wu-Tang. If it's Raekwon or Method Man or something like that. And I know he has some stuff with, like, some collabs with, like, Kanye. And I think he had a couple Nas stuff. And he probably has more stuff that I'm not privy to or aware of. I'm not like a fanatic kind of a fan, you know, when it comes to anything, really. So I don't know all this stuff. But to hear Premier, I did, like, for example, I think even most of says it in the, on the record. But I had no clue that DJ Premier produced Mathematics, which is actually one of my favorite Mos Def joints. I didn't know that was, even though he says Beats by Supremo right before he goes in the intro, so... Yeah, but Premier has a huge catalog, man. So shouts to Premier, DJ Premier. That was amazing. But I still think that RZA, he's just on another level, man. His thinking when it comes to music is just so outside the box that I think there's very few producers that can really get with RZA beats-wise. That whole Wu-Tang, that whole Shaolin theme is just crazy. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. That was dope, man. Listening to that, it was, what, like 2-3 hours, 2.5 hours they went. And now I'm waiting to see this, what is it, Teddy Riley versus the Babyface Edwards. Oof. I can't wait to hear that one. I'm gonna rock out to that one. Those are, if you're black, those are the two main genres. The third, I guess, would be gospel. But those are powerhouses. I can't wait to hear that. And I've been writing a lot, and I've been binge watching. Recently, I started binge watching, like in the past week, that I've just gotten answered. I just got really lax on my schedule, and I watched a bunch of good stuff. Not too much of it was black. I'm not supposed to be being black on earth. One good one I watched is called The Feed, if you have Amazon Prime. That was really dope. And another one is called, I think it's also on Amazon Prime, it's called Tales from the Loop. That shit right there is pretty dope. If you have Amazon Prime, I recommend it. Highly recommend it. Other than that, I can't even think of anything. I've been watching Black Monday with Don Cheadle. That's a pretty dope show. And I've been watching Westworld, which is my jam. I like Westworld quite a bit. And one of my favorite actors is actually Jeffrey Wright. That dude is a chameleon, you know. He plays parts, and he's just like, he was Basquiat. He was the bad guy in the first Shaft, the first remake of Shaft with Sam Jackson. And you cannot tell. And then he was in Boardwalk Empire. He played a Trini. So shouts to that. And he does such. He's just an amazing actor, man. I love that dude, you know, as an actor. What else is on? Oh, you know what I saw? I definitely didn't do a podcast about it. The Photograph with Issa Rae and Lakeith Stanfield. I thought that was a really dope love story. In that, it doesn't have that whole, like, he really let me down element to it. And I just thought it was a sweet, really sweet story. I like the way that they did that one. I wish there was a little bit more ache, like heartache that goes with it. And, you know, sort of like in The Notebook when they break up and you don't know if they're going to get back together kind of a thing. There wasn't enough of that to really make it a true classic, a blastic. But it was pretty good, and they do a pretty good job acting in it. What else? I think that's about it, man. This corona thing. And you don't know what to believe, right? I'm back to corona. You don't know what to believe because it's weird, right? First of all, it's weird. First of all, they're acting really strange about a flu virus that hasn't killed as many people as many other diseases. I don't think it has killed as many people as H1N1 yet. I don't think it's killed as many people as the common flu yet. But they're acting really strange about it. Somebody broke it down to me and they said the reason why they're acting strange is because there's no immunity. But it's going to have pretty much the same effect as the regular flu, because the same people who are in danger of dying from the flu, the regular flu, are the same people who are in danger of dying from corona. And the same people who are pretty much safe and most likely going to recover from corona are the same people who will recover from the normal flu. Not to mention, isn't that how you build up resistance, by catching it in the first place? And then now you're sort of like, when you were a kid and somebody had chicken pox and your parents would send you to go get chicken pox or measles so that you'll all get it and then you don't have to get it later. So that part is mad confusing to me. But then I see these doctors and nurses get up on YouTube and tell these horror stories. I saw one video of a guy walking through rooms and rooms of dead bodies in body bags. That was wild. In fact, I think my wife had corona. I think she wasn't, this was before anybody even mentioned corona. She had many other symptoms, like maybe 3 weeks before anybody even heard of corona. Before even corona was even mentioned, she had this persistent cough. She was having some slight issues breathing, headaches, which she never gets. She never gets headaches. Never. We've been together 20 years. The woman never gets headaches. Never. I mean, never. But she was getting it then. And then, and it was wild. That thing took like, it took 3 weeks for her to get over that thing. And she doesn't usually get sick, and certainly not that sick. Then she got over it. And then there's a rumor that my sister may have had corona. She never got tested either. But she definitely had the symptoms. She was having trouble breathing, said it was really painful. But she's fine. My wife is fine. My sister's fine. So it's one of these things, like, aren't we just kind of supposed to get it and then build the immunity that way? That's one weird thing about it. And then I've just never, with all the other epidemics, AIDS, you know, nobody shut shit down. They weren't shutting down businesses. They weren't shutting down schools. This is just very strange. I have heard, and I haven't done any research on it, that when China had SARS and it spread through, I think, Japan as well, this was their, like, how we're reacting now to corona, that was their reaction to SARS. That's how come now, you know how you see that? Long before corona, we always saw Chinese and Japanese people often wearing these surgical masks or medical masks, whatever, and thought it was really odd of them. That began, that trend I'm hearing, began because of SARS. And so they just don't mess around with it anymore. So they just kind of, anytime they have a cold, they wear that so that nobody else can catch what they have. They just wear a mask. It's become like a thing. And I remember years ago, like maybe 7 years ago, my wife was taking a sort of an international course that people did come from all around the world to take that course. And it was like a 3-year program, but they only met once every other month or something crazy like that. And there was a Japanese group of students, and they always wore masks. Every time you went, every time you saw them, they had a mask on. I was like, I wonder what is up with that, you know? But it's the, what I'm hearing, it's because of SARS, and they had sort of a similar lockdown when SARS was spreading. So I guess with this one, they're acting like that. I don't know. It's just very strange to me. The other thing that's strange is you can't really ever trust the government, right? When it comes to things like this, because of Tuskegee experiment, because of, if you ever read the book Medical Apartheid, how they like to test vaccines. They like to give people diseases so they can study how it's going to affect them. And they usually pick, you know, the poorer populations. This guy Fauci got up on national TV and happened to, shouts to him for doing it, to bring light, spotlight to how the people most affected, at least in the United States, by corona are going to be the poorer people, which would, namely Black Americans, who often don't have medical care, don't have, you know, access to, they're living in food. He doesn't mention this. He just mentions just not having universal health care and not being able to afford going to the doctor as often. But what he doesn't mention is the food, you know, most Black people, because they live in inner city, they live in food deserts. And they often have, already have, what is it? The morbidity that will exacerbate COVID-19. So they have high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea, all these other, obesity, all these other factors, underlying factors that would, that could cause, you know, major complications when it comes to COVID. So, and they don't have the access to good, healthy, fresh food that's going to help boost the immune system and things like that, you know. He brought light to that around COVID. So it's like, it's tough to trust the government. So we don't even know if this is going down the way that it is really going down. The only thing that makes me believe it is that Trump doesn't believe it. So it's like, okay, so it can't be a conspiracy because Trump doesn't give a shit, right, about it. And then some people are saying it's not COVID-19. It's not a virus. It's 5G radiation. These are the symptoms of radiation poisoning and blah, 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 blah. So I don't know what to believe. I don't think that it's 5G. I do think that 5G could probably, potentially, maybe be harmful. But I don't know why they would put up worldwide harmful radiation. However, I do know why. There is a book, and I don't remember the name of the author off the top of my head. I think his last name is Dunhill. It's like something F. Dunhill. Wrote a book 15 years ago called How to Make War. And that book has sort of been like a Bible for me for the past, I've had it for about a good 12, 13 years. It's been a sort of a Bible to me when it comes to government agendas and understanding certain things, because he explains, that's a huge book, it's very thick. That book must be 400 pages. And he goes into a lot of things that I've actually seen come to pass over the years, just as he said they would. And I also read, if you haven't, you want to read Memorandum 200, United Nations, I'm not sure. But just Google Memorandum 200. And it's a U.S. memorandum on population control and actually how the U.S. sees population expansion as a national threat. And they go through the different methods that they want, the studies they've done, and ways to curtail population growth, not just in the U.S., but globally. And they already marked down certain countries that they've got their eye on. Nigeria, for example. And this was written in 1976. And they've had their eye on Nigeria since then. And right now, Nigeria is set to, in the next 20 years, have the second highest population in the world. They're going to surpass China. So it's going to be like India, Nigeria, China, as far as population. So you definitely want to read the memorandum, because then you really don't trust the government to do anything. So it could be 5G, plus it could be man-made COVID, plus it could be COVID's not really real, they're just trying to shut you down and control you. It could be all of those things, and guess what? You don't really have a defense for that. The best defense, not even money. I think COVID is showing everyone right now that not even money is going to help you out of this situation. The only thing that's going to help you out of this situation is if you have land. That's it. This is the best time to have land so that you can grow your own food and kind of take care of yourself. And now I think people are seeing the benefits of homeschooling. It might be getting hairy for a lot of people, especially if you have a lot of kids. But if you're home, you're home. You know, you're spending time with your kids, and it's probably better that you homeschool them, you know. But yeah, this is just wild. And I heard through the grapevine that these lockdowns are not going to get lighter. They're going to get worse here in the U.S. So right now here in Miami, and I know in a bunch of other cities from friends and family, that it's already pretty much tantamount to martial law. So you can't be out unless you are doing some very specific things, getting essential goods, exercising. Now it's you can't be out unless you're doing essential things and you have a mask on and you have staying six feet apart. And I mean, the cops will stop you. The cops will fine you if you're not practicing these things. And I guess if this is real as they say it is, that would be necessary. But it's still very strange, real or not real. And if it's not real, then they're practicing something. This is an exercise in something. And I'm hearing by a pretty reliable source, actually a very reliable source, that it's going to get worse than that, not better. That pretty soon you won't even be able to come out of your house. That they'll be policing that. You have to be indoors. And even right now, like here, there's a curfew. You can't be out past 10 o'clock and before 5 o'clock in the morning. I've gone out at that time because that's actually the time I work out usually. But I live in a kind of a secluded neighborhood. But I haven't seen any, I haven't been stopped by anybody or anything like that. Thank God. Another thing I'm really grateful for is that they haven't heard, you haven't heard of any really overbearing policing at this time, which I thought I would hear. I thought I would hear, you know, cops breaking up. Well, no, we did hear about them breaking up the birthday party, the black birthday party. But, you know, that was that one. Maybe there's more we haven't heard, but I'm glad so far that it hasn't become a thing. We're starting to look like, oh, this is just a curfew for us. You know what I mean? So I'm glad for that. And that is that, man. This podcast was actually supposed to be on... actually, no, you know what? Next week I'm going to do another Rites of Passage. So that one's going to be more for the teenagers next week. I'm going to go ahead and cut this one short. Cut this one off right here, actually. I ranted for a little while. I don't know if I gave you guys any good information other than to pick up that book, How to Make War. And, you know, since it's such a big book, it's something that you can kind of skim through. It's got a table of contents so you can kind of pick and choose what things you want to read about. And he really goes in. I think he was like a CIA analyst, among other things. He was like a advisor to all kinds of government, military agencies. So this guy knows what he's talking about. He's actually a strategist as well. So you can read up on him. And I think his name is James Dunhill, James F. Dunhill. But yeah, check out that book, How to Make War, and also check out Memorandum 200. Just look up UN Memorandum 200. Also, I think it's like, I want to say it's 20-something pages, 120-something pages. So it's not that long. But, you know, it's full of, you know, jargon and big, big words and a lot of statistics and things like that. But it also has a table of contents. And so I encourage you to just, you know, go down the table of contents, pick a section, read that section. The one that's most relevant, because they go through all types of stuff. There's all kinds of sections on the population control. But, you know, there is a section there on sterility. There's a section there on, I think there is a section on it's the different methods of population control. I think one is sterility and one is like limiting family, like encouraging people, like through propaganda, not force, but trying to encourage people just not to have more than two kids. You read it though. That's something I will leave you with. And yeah, if you can, wherever you are, if you can start a garden, that's really going to help you out. If this thing goes much longer, man, fingers crossed that it doesn't. Some people are saying it's supposed to go. Because I know for schools supposed to open back up April 15th. Now they're saying, no, May 1st. You know, and another thing is I'm hearing people say that they get the virus. They get over the virus after 14 days. But then they're still testing positive for it. Or they're not even testing people for it afterwards to see if you still have it. So you could still have it. And I saw one lady saying that she forced them to test her. They refused to do it, but she finally got them to do it. And she was positive after she had already gotten the virus. So now she's like, am I going to go back out and keep spreading it, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, this whole thing is so strange, man. So it's like, if they release the lockdown, are people still going to get it? And isn't flu, you know, isn't it seasonal? That's why they have flu season. So it's like, are we going to go through this every year? Like, is COVID going to come back around? And because we quarantined and no one got it, so very few people have any immunity to it, is it going to just go back around to this again? You know, I don't know, man. What strange, strange times, man. But people are using this to do all sorts of cool things, man, like DJ battles. People are putting out way, way more internet content. Lots of workout videos. What else have I seen? You know, my wife is making N95 masks right now. I've been doing way more writing. I've been taking a lot more online courses to, like, beef up my resume. So it's one of those creative times for people to get really creative, spend more time with family. People are learning. I'm sure that there's a lot of marriages right now that are struggling, finding out new things about each other, that because you realize how little time you spend together, you know. Kids are probably driving people up the wall, eating you out of house and home. You know, but this is the time for you to kind of, you know, I guess slow it down a little bit and, you know, pay more attention to each other, meditate more, take care of your health. I think people are realizing how much they probably eat out a little too much, how much money they're spending on eating out. So now you're forced to kind of cook at home, eat at home. I'm sure that these services like Blue Apron and stuff, these food services must be making a killing right now for people who can't cook. But, you know, get on YouTube, learn to cook, learn to make a few dishes, you know. Now's the time. Now's the time to shore up, you know. And hopefully this thing will. Man, who's to know how this is going to turn out? Because now it's going to be like a landmark in time. It's going to be before Corona and after Corona. And at first I was kind of, right now I'm like worried about how uncertain this whole situation is. Not just when will it end, but how are we going to recover? What's the recovery going to look like? If you're behind on bills, behind, you know, like they're supposed to give people some stimulus, but we all know it's not enough. And if you're behind on child support, you're not getting it. I think there's some underlying factors, I can't remember. I think if you owe student loans or, don't quote me on that. Somebody actually sent me a letter that talked about some of the things that exempt you from, I think if you owe taxes, you're not going to get your stimulus. So that excludes quite a few people, man. So that means you're not getting a stimulus. And then they're talking about rent freeze. But if rent freeze doesn't happen, people are going to be stuck. Even if it does happen, what about if you have a car note? You know, what about your car insurance? You know, all that stuff is going to lapse. Are they going to give people a buy for driving their car without insurance and for places that have to have registration or what have you? They're shutting down universities. So that's shutting down a lot of what they call these like certifications. So if you were planning to take a certification test, you can't right now. Yeah, some strange times, man, that are happening here. Not to mention during an election year. So, and with Biden is out. So all we have, I mean, not Biden, but Bernie is out. So it's like Trump versus Biden. So that means Trump is getting elected again, right? So I am confused right now. It's the recovery. What's the recovery going to look like? More so than what the rest of this is going to look like. But everybody stay safe. I commend everyone here in the United States that no one has gotten crazy. There's no violence, you know. I think we've seen some worse situations. Right now, no one seems to be panicking. Everybody's staying pretty positive and, you know, staying outdoors. I think crime must be way down right now. But I hope that maintains, that the social order and this, you know, people do remain calm, level-headed through all of this. So with that, I'm going to say peace. This is your boy, Shay Ray, a.k.a. Shay Good Guy. And I will see you guys next week. I think next episode, I will write it down. Peace. When I'm not hosting a podcast as your fam and friendly neighborhood good guy, I'm a freelance illustrator and graphic designer. In the field since 2013, I've worked for small businesses and multi-million dollar companies. I like to work closely with my clients to produce a quality service. I specialize in logos, layouts, posters, and pamphlets, but I also do t-shirt designs, business cards, websites, and many other multimedia services. Although I have big business clients, I like to focus on small businesses and nonprofits who work with a small budget yet benefit from great design. In addition, I teach multimedia workshops for young people to get them ahead of the game in this technical age.
Call 305-209-7894. Ask for Shay. I work local and long distance.
Man, I'm just out here being...
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have done something
I'm being black.
Beautiful with that.
And everything just...
I'm sure they would have done
everything that it means to be black.